This will be part three of Paul's mixed multitude. And we've been going through the things that happen when Paul would approach a town and get there and start preaching. He would preach the gospel of God and then the gospel of Christ to the believers in the gospel of God. And we just covered the first of six things that happened, the belief part. And we're going to... The rest of these I don't expect to be as long as that was. There were quite a few references. But the second part is that part held with Paul and part divided. And you can see that probably most clearly in Acts 14, verse 4. But the multitude of the city... Let me just check. Do I have sound? Can you hear me all right? The multitude of the city... Thank you. Multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. So there was a division there, and Paul didn't have unanimous support in hardly any of his speakings or meetings, places he went, travels. 2 Corinthians 6:15. What concord hath Christ with Belial? And my understanding is that means Satan. Belial means Satan. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? And I think that's a passage where Israel is told not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold with Paul's sound words. Part held with Paul and part divided. We are to hold with Paul's words. Listen carefully to the remaining groups of verses and their common emphasis. These verses are going to be starting, this will be part three. Part one was that they believed. Part two, part held with Paul and part divided. And the third thing is that they consorted. Consorted. Well, what does consort mean? In Webster's, Merriam-Webster dictionary, consort is a transitive verb, unite or associate. Unite or associate. Acts 17:4. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. And that's basically what we've got on consort. That's all I could find about consorting, but it's definitely mentioned. Fourthly, departed. This is common. In fact, you know, if you go back to those verses in John 9:22, etc., when they believed, when Paul came and preached, he was going into enemy territory there, into the apostate synagogues, and he would preach the thing that they had told, had already agreed, that anybody preaches this or believes it, they'll be kicked out, expelled, removed from the synagogue. And so in Acts 18:7, and he departed thence after he had preached the gospel of God there in verses 4 and 5, 6 I think is some more he preached, and then they didn't like it. Let me get that verse up there. That's Acts 18. Starting in verse 4, he reasoned with the Jews and the Greeks, and then when they arrived, he concentrates on the Jews only, not the Greeks too, but just the Jews, testifying that Jesus was Christ. Again, the gospel of God first. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. What Gentiles? The Gentile, the aforementioned Gentiles. The Greeks. Jews and Greeks up there in verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Those are the Gentiles that he went to. There's no reason to think he went to other ones. The Bible doesn't say he went to other ones. Just the ones aforementioned. Look at Acts 19, verse 9. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them. He departed. That's what we're talking about, the departing. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. All right, going back to that word separated, that's another word describing it, and that's our fifth in our series of words that happens when Paul would go and preach the gospel. Acts 19:9, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So it mentions both departing and separating. Now there is another use of separate. He separated the disciples, but the believers throughout Israel's history, as well as in the early church, before he was sent to all people, they're told to separate themselves from evil. Let's look at some of those verses. Isaiah 52:11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean, that ye be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And then 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15 and 16, the verses connected with what we just read. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God, of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Of course, we know that that's been cut off now for a while. Hosea 1:9 came true in Acts, in the Acts time period when Israel fell and was cast away. 17, let's see, I will be their people. Verse 17 in the same series of verses, and we'll go to 18 after that. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, and remember he's talking to the Jews that just came out of the synagogue, and he addresses both of these letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians, to the church of God, not to the body of Christ. So it was before they had all been declared, which ones, you know, the ones that were called to be in that remnant according to the election of grace, called to believe Paul's gospel and be part of the body of Christ. They hadn't heard the gospel yet, or they'd heard it and still hadn't received it, but they would. But he's still talking to them as the church of God, which they all were when they first came out of the synagogue hearing the gospel of God. If 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 7, 1 that we just read, if it was written in a dispensation of the gospel, then Paul would be using scripture that only applies to Jews and Greeks. However, if 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 7, 1 that we just read was written in the dispensation of the grace of God, then Paul would not be using scripture that only applies to Jews and Greeks. It turns out that 2 Corinthians 6, 14-7:1, in those verses, Paul does use scripture that applies and only applies to Jews and Greeks. So, that fits the first of the two conditions mentioned above. 2 Corinthians 6:14 verses 7, 6:14 through chapter 7 verse 1 was written in a dispensation of the gospel. Since Paul did use scripture that only applies to Jews and Greeks. The synagogue that Paul preached the gospel of God in, that synagogue, they were apostate. And we've gone through those verses before. John 9:22, John 9:34, John 12:42, and John 16:2 all say that they had to leave the synagogue. Let's look at 9:22 anyway. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he being Jesus, that Jesus was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And when Paul preached in the synagogues that Jesus is the risen Christ, the believers in that gospel of God had to leave the synagogue and meet in Paul's meetings. You know, when Paul would, at least at first, they met with Paul. And that included synagogue Jews and Greeks that had come to believe that Jesus is the risen Christ. And that made them the church of God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. Just as the scattered little flock that Saul of Tarsus persecuted was the church of God. When those gospel of God believers began meeting with Paul, Paul could begin preaching the gospel of Christ to them, those who had become Church of God people, but they had come to believe the gospel of God, and now they would hear and believe the gospel of Christ. Those that did believe it would become part of a remnant according to the election of grace, remnant into the body of Christ. Remnant being a small part of Israel, but they stopped being Israel, they became part of the body of Christ in a dispensation of the gospel. That didn't happen anymore once you got into the dispensation of the grace of God. Those who had become Church of God people, but that continued to believe Israel's future kingdom gospel, they became part of the scattered little flock, prophetic remnant, believers, not apostate like the synagogues, but they were believers in Israel's doctrine. They were the prophetic remnant in Israel's program. And those people that were in that situation, the work and that dispensation of the gospel, they had that choice of which group to be in according to the call of God on them at that time, as you can see in the verses we're going to read. But the thing to realize and to watch for is that doesn't apply anymore. God is not calling people into apostate Judaism today. That was a brief period there. That's why it's called a dispensation of the gospel and not the dispensation of the grace of God yet. The verses being, we'll just read the four. We read them yesterday. Let's read them again. They're so important. 1 Corinthians 7:17-20. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? let him not become uncircumcised. In other words, stay in believing Israel. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. In other words, don't try to be a Jew, messianic or otherwise. Then don't be a Judaizer. So 1 Corinthians 7:19, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. 1 Corinthians 7:20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Jesus Christ does the calling. We don't make up which group we want to be in and call it a call. Jesus Christ did the calling at that time, and he's only calling people today into the body of Christ. Those that he knows have decided or will decide, he's eternal. He's there already when when your great 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 grandkids decide to believe. He's there already. He's already seen their choice. He has foreknowledge. So those provisions that we just read about were for some of the people in the body of Christ. They were people in the body that were addressed as in the work. In Acts 13 verse 2 and Acts 13 verse 41 and in Habakkuk 1 verse 5, they're called the work. And it's called a dispensation of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 to 8 through 18. We, in the body of Christ today, are in the dispensation of the grace of God. We that are in the body of Christ today are not in the work, nor are we in a dispensation of the gospel, which only existed from Acts 9 through Acts 19. Because of that, those opportunities, those signs and ordinances and accommodations that were made, they do not apply to us. They're in the scripture, yes. They're in Paul's writings, yes. But they were to a dispensation of the gospel, not to the dispensation of the grace of God. Both of which being in the body, the one body of Christ, the only body of Christ. All right, let's look at some verses. There's only two for clave. The sixth thing that we had listed happens when Paul preached. Acts 11:23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of, this is talking about Barnabas, when he came and had seen the grace of God, and not the gospel of the grace of God, not the dispensation of the grace of God, he'd seen the grace of God, God working in those people, and those people receiving the truth of the gospel, whichever, the gospel of God mainly. That's what both Peter and Paul were preaching. It says he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. That's a variation of the word clave. They clave would be past tense. Acts 17 verse 34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. This thing about a work, let's look at Habakkuk, what he says. Habakkuk 1:5, let me see if I can get that posted here. Habakkuk 1:5. Welcome to the room, those that have just come in recently. Behold you among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. You will not believe, though it be told you. So Habakkuk prophesies to Israel, and that's the ye. Behold ye, that's Israel. It's about Israel, while Israel is among the heathen. And the heathen Roman government was ruling Israel at the time of Jesus. and in the time of Acts too. Acts also, I should say. Israel was among the heathen at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, as well as many Israelites still scattered from previous exiles, from the Babylonian exile and Assyrian, and the scattering from the persecution by Saul of Tarsus. So they were among the heathen. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. And if you look in Paul's writings in Romans chapter 9, verse 27 and 28, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. The prophesied work that was the first part of Paul's and Barnabas's calling, working with the Jew first, it was a short work. It was prophesied that there would be a work, but it was not prophesied what the work would be. That part remained mystery. That part was not prophecy. What Paul preached. So, look at, we'll go through the calling, sending of Paul in Acts 13, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, there were in the church that was in Antioch, that'd be Antioch of Pisidia, that's Antioch. Isn't that Antioch of Syria? Hold on, let me just check that. Brief delay here. Pulling up Theophilus, my scripture here. Acts 12. Look at the end of Acts 12. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So this has got to be Syrian Antioch, near Jerusalem there. So they sailed away. When they sailed, they went to these other places, and eventually in verse 14, they departed from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. So the Antioch in verse 1 there is Syrian Antioch. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So what is that? Five people. Five people gathered together. They were prophets and teachers. I assume that means some were prophets, some were teachers. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So that's the calling and the separation and preparation of Saul for his early sending to the Jew first and also to the Greek, according to Deuteronomy 32:21. So let's go on to verse 3 here in Acts 13. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That's the sending by these five men, sending the two of them away, Barnabas and Saul. And that ended in Acts 27, verse 26, when they had completed that first circuit, and they went back and reported about it to those men. But that's not all there is to it. The Holy Ghost also sent them in verse 2, didn't he? He separated them out for the work I have called them. And then down in verse 4, so being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, they departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So I cannot imagine that the Lord or the Holy Ghost left Paul without a sending, without a commission from Acts 14:26, when they had finished that the sending of those men in Antioch and reported back to them. From that time in Acts 14 through until Acts 20, you know, the whole time when he went to the meeting there in Jerusalem, was he without a commission then? No, he was under commission. Acts 19 before Acts 20, when he was sent to all people with a new commission. In Acts 19, he wrote 1 Corinthians when he said in 1 Corinthians 9:17, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So he had a commission at that time. So it had to be that he was still under the commission and the sending by the Holy Ghost that came in Acts 13:2 and finished in verse 4, Acts 13:4. The prophesied work being what Habakkuk had said, was from Acts 13:1 through Acts 20, verse 5. During that period, in 1 Corinthians 9:16-18, Paul also called that period a dispensation of the gospel. For the body of Christ, it was a dispensation of the gospel. On the other side, Israel's side and prophecy side, it was the work going on, provoking some of those Jews to believe. And that was... Acts 13 to Acts 20 would be from about A.D. 44 to about A.D. 56. That's 12 years for the Lord to accomplish a short work through Paul. You know, from 56 A.D. to 2015 is about 1,959 years. 19 to 2016 would be 1,960 years. Compare that to 12 short work years in the work. You can see it is a short work. Look at Romans 9:28-29-30. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Verse 29, as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Compare that to Romans 10:8, that faith in who Jesus is what Israel failed, how they failed to receive the kingdom. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, this is verse 13, same chapter. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, if you look at Acts 15:38, Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to what? To the work. The work. In Acts 13:41, behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And just to reemphasize there in Romans 9:28, he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. And giving individual Jews an extra 12 years to believe that Jesus is the risen Christ. It was going above and beyond what was necessary after Israel fell. It was more mercy and more grace than you would expect. More than God had promised. Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Okay, I'm done for today with this part. If there are questions, comments, please bring them up now.